Welcome to The Father's Heart with Tom Clark, better known as Papa Tom.
Good morning. We're speaking with Kevin Sorbo, and we're talking about the cultural war in America today and the use of media in that cultural war and the effect of how difficult it is to raise money to produce films that are for family and for faith and are for God, put God into our regular life, into our culture. And the woke community that is Hollywood and Washington, D.C. and Hollywood, there's connections back and forth there trying to promote an agenda that's anti-God. And they have actually access to more capital. And unfortunately, heretofore, they have access to the distribution channels. So we're talking briefly about the funding sources, which are now changing dramatically, and I think rapidly, actually, pretty fast, faster than we think. But the other part of it, the other shoe that has to fall, the drop, is the distribution. So Kevin, share with the audience, you've been involved in multiple films. Currently, you've got two of them out there, The Firing Squad and the documentary on CCP overtaking Hollywood. Tell the audience about your knowledge of what happens in the distribution of films.
Well, I mean, that's just as important as anything else, right? It's great to get the movie funded, but you have to have money to be able to get the movie into theaters. I don't think a lot of people realize that theaters charge for you to get into their theaters. It's not just the popcorn and sodas that they make the money on, so which makes sense, right?
Sure.
But distribution money is probably the least riskiest part of any investment within the movie industry because it's the last money in, but it's the first money to get paid back. It's usually a percentage, whatever it's 7, 8, 10%, whatever it may be, plus maybe an ownership of a point or two in the back end. But that's the one that you need more than anything to get it in the theaters. But it's also just as tough to raise money for that as it is for anything else. And once again, you're battling for spaces in the world of Hollywood, taking up all these theaters. And who owns all the AMC theaters, by the way? China. So I don't think people probably know that either.
They don't.
So a lot of say what goes in there as well. And China, trust me, they'd rather not have a faith-based movie in there. They'd rather have a movie in there that promoted violence and sex and anything else because they love what they're doing to America. And TikTok in America, they actually support people. They support guys dressed up as a woman or little teenage girls jiggling their bodies in front of the cameras. And they'll help support those people by pushing their website that makes more money. So people go, oh, look at the money we can make by doing this. They don't have that in TikTok in China. Everything in China, it's positive reinforcement just to life, to country, and things like that. They do not show any of the stuff that comes out of children and anybody that has TikTok here in America. So think about that for a moment and realize what China is actually trying to do to America. But you do need distribution more than anything else. I've got a couple of outlets I like to use. I trust them. There's very few people in Hollywood I do trust, but I know that they'll not rip me off. Because mostly in Hollywood, you get to the studios, and you can name any studios. It's organized crime. They know what they're doing. They termed creative accounting themselves. They know what they're doing in terms of hiding money and making things difficult to get back-end deals. Sure. We always joke about as an actor, if you take a back-end deal on your contract, you're going to take it in the back end. It's pretty much what happens within the world of Hollywood. And they have so many ways of offsetting any profits from other TV shows and movies that have losses, and they mix them all together. And you need some smart auditing people to capture them. But it's happened with my show on Hercules, most watched TV show in the world. And after 7 years, they said, oh, we didn't make any money on this. And once we went and did an audit with an outside firm, we found $50 million. $50 million in what Universal said, oh, these are accounting mistakes. They should go to prison for that. Accounting mistakes. Give me a break.
Were you able to get some money out of them?
Get away with it.
Were you able to get some money out of them?
No, they kept the courses on trials for 10 years. The court that it went down to in downtown Los Angeles, my lawyer told me, he said, if we had this case put in Santa Monica, we'd have a much better chance. But they're all bought and sold down there. All the judges, they're in the back pocket of all the studios.
It's like the Department of Injustice instead of the Department of Justice.
Yeah.
Why don't you bring it to the Southern District of New York and Manhattan? Maybe you'll get some better reading there.
I think it's a little too late to do that now.
I'm teasing. That's what they're doing. They're railroading Trump in there.
I wish there was hope there, but there's not.
So you haven't seen a dime of this $50 million that they owe you out of for your work.
Oh, they owe me quite a bit of money. I'll never see it. I had the same contract that the the two executive producers said, identical. And we're at one of the mediations where they had their nine lawyers lined up. That they, you know, they all lie. They don't care. They're there just to win. Doesn't, and they know that they're lying. But my contract was put out to the next of the executive producers. My lawyer said, guys, there's no difference. Identical definitions of what these contracts are. And the other exec producers got paid. And the lawyer from Universal said, well, it all depends how you want to define the word definition.
It's like Bill Clinton once says, it depends.
Yep.
Define the word is.
Yep. There okay. you go.
Yeah. It's sad to say that the older I become, the more I see evil gravitating to power. Evil gravitates to power, and power, yeah. You find it in politics, you find it in government, and sadly, it's overrun a court system. You don't have justice. You don't have justice in our...
We're releasing prisoners back out to commit crimes. They have been arrested 12 times, and they're like, you come in and they just let them go out again and commit more rapes, more murders, more robbery. It's unbelievable what this country's doing, and it's unbelievable that we have more people standing up. I mean, I don't get it why people are so passive and so ignorant and so lazy about saying, you know, because they don't teach civics in school anymore. Sure. They don't want kids to know it's we the people. Right. The government we have now is worse than the British monarchy when we started the Revolutionary War. The way our government taxes us and controls us and use fear as a weapon over us is unbelievable. And yet we got just a bunch of sheep in this country.
You know, some people, you mentioned before fear, then you mentioned apathy, and you mentioned yep. greed. Those are the three things. Fear is the primary one. We've gone sure. through a strong dose of that through COVID and vaccines, which we're not going to
talk about today.
And then you have the other part of apathy is the election process and how people didn't respond when they, in fact, some people did respond to January 6th where people protested it, and they tried to make it a whole different thing than it really was.
Sure.
Because they did stand up and try to say, you know, we'd like some integrity here. That's all we're looking for. We want an honest election.
We want integrity. Right. Well, mail-in voting will never have an honest election. It's pathetic.
Yeah.
And show an ID. There's nothing racist about showing an ID. It's just unbelievable the games that they play.
The last part you wanted was greed. And greed is really something where scripture tells us the love of money is the root of all evil. Mm-hmm. So that plays into the greed aspect. The people sure. who they want to buy off want the money. And unfortunately, I think the evil sources actually print the money. I might use that expression. And it funnels down that way.
That's what they're doing. Look at the trillions of dollars they've been printing. I mean, I have a T-shirt that I made from it's on Sorbo Studios. It says, I put it as a post on Twitter. I said, why do we have to pay taxes if the government can just keep printing money?
Yeah. I want to go segue to mention the thing about TikTok, because I think that that's a real strong, in a bad way, a strong tool, a powerful tool, let me put it that way, a powerful tool in the hands of the enemy. And they're using this to sexualize girls, particularly. And the effect that has in our culture, because the cultural war we're in, you mentioned to me in one of our nice little exchanges we had about, and I mentioned it to you as well, I have two sons that are looking for wives, and they're in their late 20s or early 30s, 31 and 28, and you have boys in your 20s, they would like to get married someday and raise a family and so forth, and they look around, and where are they going to find a wife? Where are they going to find someone who, a young woman who wants to have a family, wants to raise kids, wants to be a helpmate to her husband? Every aspect that you would say from a biblical perspective, God would want a woman to be, the antithesis of that is what is promoted on TikTok.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I mean, it's constantly there. Look, I think there's good things in TikTok, too. I think there's some wonderful things that social media is useful for. But the internet as a whole, I think, is pretty, it's like the Wild West is what it is. I mean, it's just amazing what they got going on right now and what they're able to do, how they're able to influence. And you see an uptick in all these teenage girls committing suicide because people attack them on the internet. They post a shot and they say, oh, you're really ugly. You shouldn't be here. You should die. And all these kids are killing themselves because They think these are their friends. These aren't their friends.
No.
Just because you have followers doesn't mean they're your buddies. You know, I got 2 million followers on TikTok, and I don't know any of them. I know a few of them, but most of them I don't know. I appreciate they follow me, and I think the majority follow me because they agree with what I'm saying, and they're in the same, you know, fighting field that I am to try to get our country back.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, there's a percentage out there that just want to troll me and attack me, whatever I say. Just, I laugh at it. I don't have time to read this stuff. My son lets me know some of it, and I just get a kick out of it. More than anything, I feel sad for these people because these are people filled with no hope for anything. These people, they hate who they are. They hate their lives. They hate any relationship they have. Hate any kind of career they do or do not have. And they want to take it on you or me. And like, it's our fault. And they think it's going to make them feel better to attack someone like me. Mm-hmm. When I look at it, I go, all they do is make their lives even worse. It doesn't bother my life at all. My life doesn't change because of these people.
Is it TikTok or is it Instagram that you're following?
And for me, it's Twitter. I mean, I got Instagram as well. I'm not on TikTok. But mm-hmm. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Truth. I'm on Twitter. I was on Facebook. Facebook took me down 3 years ago for posting the truth about COVID. And God forbid you do that. Everything I said, of course, came true. So on Twitter, I posted, I need more conspiracy theories because everything I said came true.
Well, I understood recently that Elon Musk, who's taken over Twitter, actually retweeted one of the things that you said last week. And it's 177 million followers. He's going to be at 200 million. He's all over the world. I mean, 200 million people pretty soon will be following Elon Musk. My personal opinion is the things that he's saying is having a positive impact in the cultural war. And I think it's going to have a positive impact on the election. He asked a question the other day about how many of you who are formerly Democrats would now vote Democratic. And he says, I was a former Democrat. Sure. Elon Musk is saying this. And I won't vote Democrat anymore. Again, I'm not trying to even go Democrat versus Republican because I think we get into a different argument back and forth, or polemic, I should say. And you really have a uni party because you have too many Republicans that have been paid off too. Because of greed, love of money is the root of all evil. There's too many Republicans that have also been paid off. So they got both sides of the aisle. I mean, I guess, you know, you want them to be unified, but you want to be unified on the truth, not unified on the bad side, on the evil side. So Elon Musk, do you remember the what it was that you tweeted that Elon Musk agreed with?
I posted a video where BLM was rioting and attacking people for having, I think it was a pro-life event or something. And I said, here once again, the left, the tolerant left is showing what they really believe in. And he loved it and followed it. I wish I could talk to him sometime because I think he would believe in the movies that I do.
Yeah.
Talk about a guy that can cut a check.
Sure.
And Elon, if you're listening, I'm more than happy to pay you back. You'll get your money back. My movies do okay. So.
We'll be back in a moment again with Kevin Sorbo as we talk about the cultural war and the impact on your life and mine. We're back with Kevin Sorbo, and we're talking about the cultural war in America today and how media is being used in that cultural war. We talked about funding. We're talking about distribution of particularly movies. But in the very beginning, when God took me out of the financial services industry, he brought me into media, and the first thing he asked me to do was to write children's books. So I started writing children's books called Papa Tom's Tales, A Grandfather's Bedtime Stories. And each book has to do with a fear and how the love of God, perfect love, casts out all fear. The only place you get perfect love from is God the Father. So each book deals with that. One, the first one deals with identity, the boy who found his name. The second one deals with gender dysphoria, which is really overcoming a spirit of confusion. And the third one is deception. But Kevin himself and his wife, Sam, they have books, children's books as well. So it's one of the commonalities we have between us. Kevin, share with our audience about your children's books.
Well, it's not my wife's books. It's my book. She has her own books.
Okay.
So, I'm friends with Kirk Cameron. Kirk Cameron and I were neighbors for about 10 years before I escaped from California 5.5 years ago. And he made a lot of news last year when they were attacking him for reading. He's with Brave Books, attacking him at public libraries because they didn't want Kirk reading to 7-year-olds. Because of his Christian background. But these public libraries that are funded by our tax dollars were perfectly okay.
Transgender.
With drag queens.
Yes, reading transvestites, yeah.
And so I started posting quite a bit about it, laughing at it and the ridiculousness of it. And I'm all for, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on about the emasculation of men. So I'm all for emasculating men. I'm all for, you know, I have a t-shirt that says patriarchy is the future. And they got a hold of me. And Brave Book said, we want to add you to our team. Sure. And the first book that we did came out last September. It's called The Test of Lionhood. And it's a wonderful movie about Lucas the lion cub here, who is playing out in the woods near the mountains with his two little sisters. He's a 10-year-old. And he's got two younger sisters. Well, his younger sister gets cuts by this weed that is deadly, that if you don't get the antidote off a flower up in the mountain, that person will die. And he knows he doesn't have time to get back home to mom and dad. He knows his father taught him many things about the wonderful things about the jungle, but the dangers of it as well. So he's got to get past his own insecurities, his own fear, and fight that, find his own courage and battle through that. And he ends up saving his little sister's life. And the movie is not anti-anything, but of course the alphabet crowd went after me, saying I'm anti-this and anti-that. And I said, this is not anti-anything. This book is pro-child is what it is. It's pro-child. And it hopes that these young boys can grow up to be strong fathers, not only for their family and strong husbands, but also pillars in their community. And I'm going to keep fighting for that, because the father is a very important part of the family. I mean, Hollywood does another great job of tearing that apart. They've done it through sitcoms for 50 years, where the dad is fat and out of shape, the mom's a babe. The teenage kids use dad as a pincushion to make fun of him. And we've been brainwashing kids now for a couple generations, saying, you know what, the father's not that important to the family. And I'm trying to bring that back, how important it is. And my follow-up book with these guys is coming out in June, which is the month of Father's Day, and it deals with fatherhood. So please look for that book. Go to bravebooks.com, bravebooks.com, and you can get my book for free if you sign up for a year with Brave Books, and you'll get it autographed as well. So I hope people go to bravebooks.com. They do wonderful, wonderful things for kids 4 to 10, 4 to 11 years old, books that have good moral value. It's not pushing any sort of shoving down your throat stuff like they do in the woke community. It just gives good good advice and good moral values and importance of family.
I think if you went to a local library and wore a bra or something like that, you'd be able to...
you'd be okay then. That's right.
You'd be okay then. And you'd be able, you know.
Take your kids. Homeschool your kids too. That's my wife. She travels the country with homeschooling. And you know, we homeschoolers forever. And she has books out there. One of my favorites of her books is called They're Your Kids. And she has another one called Words for Warriors, which is a wonderful, great book as well.
I'm definitely going to look them up. I think I gave you two of my books when we last met, and I hope you get a chance to read them too. That being said, I just took a picture last week. I was in Davidson, North Carolina. Davidson's a great little town, and they have the Davidson bookstore. I think it's called Main Street Books or something like that. And in the window, they had pictures of the books that they're offering to the kids today. And
oh my
gosh. The featured one was on Ketanji Brown, who was the Supreme Court justice who can't define what a woman is.
That's very confusing.
Right. And so it's like, she's black, she's a woman, and she's an idiot, I think. And she's a complete fool. And they already got a book about her out there. And
of course.
I remembered that about a year ago, when I went into the bookstore and I saw the type of books they had. It's Hillary Clinton, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Michelle Obama, who else? AOC. All these were just women who were totally woke women, totally into the feminist thing, but the purpose behind the books was the emasculation of men.
Oh, yeah.
And that's where it impacts boys becoming fathers and growing into maturity, who they are. As I understand scripture, God uses the father to help his children reach their calling and destiny. And when you take the fathers out, they don't have an avenue to learn what their calling and destiny is. The beginning of how a father in scripture begins a child's life in their calling and destiny is by naming them. Words are important. The name starts to identify the path that that child's going to take. Often in our society, we have, you know, mothers naming it. It doesn't matter to me scripturally whether the mother or the father does. It said the mother come up with the name, father has to ratify it. The father has to say, yes, that's the name, according to the word of God. It's done. John the Baptist, we won't have time to go into all the different stories, but, you know, when John the Baptist was coming out and Zacharias' father, who was mute at the time, they asked him, what's his name? And the mother, Elizabeth, says his name is John. And all the family says, the mother can't name the child. It has to be the father. The mother says, well, give him a slate. So then Zacharias on the slate writes John. And as soon as he wrote John, then he was able to speak again. It's an amazing story if you look at the ramifications of all that. But in built into the name is what God sees the child's calling and destiny is, and he uses the father to do that in his design. Now, there's a lot of fathers that are off the wall. They don't show up. I mean, the absence of fathers is terrible to a family. In the presence of fathers who are addicted to drugs and alcohol, and stuff, that's another problem. And there's all sorts of layers to the problems. But if you have somebody who's solid and he has a relationship, particularly the father has a relationship with God and can hear what God's saying, he's going to follow not what he thinks that child should be, but what God the Father wants him to be if he has a father's heart. And I know you have a father's heart for your kids. Thankfully, God's given me that same thing. Let's transition over to a discussion about distribution, because that's a huge thing. We started.
I'm
going to
go back
for
a second, though, on that, because the statistics bear it out. 8 out of 10 black kids are raised without a father. 8 out of 10. Mm-hmm. You can see what that effect has had over the last 60 years within the black community. With crime, with drugs, with violence, with incarceration, it goes on and on. Enough said, the facts are there, the stats are there, you can check that out. But go ahead, let's talk about distribution.
I had a friend of mine in D.C. who used to deal with the black community, and the surveys they did in the D.C. black community was 85%.
Yeah.
He said to me, when I had problems in the family, Tom, he said, this is Dave Henderson, a good friend of mine, he said, I've gone to over 1,000 families. Everyone that had a problem, there was not a father present in the entire 1,000 that I went to. So some of them have.
Hey, one quick put up for this. I'm going to put this up here right now. Yeah. Just because I know we probably won't get to it in time. But I've got a wonderful event based off of Comic-Cons, okay? But this is a Faith and Family Comic-Con. It's going to be May 31st and June 1st in Sevierville, Tennessee. It's just south of Knoxville, Tennessee. It's called Rise Up Con. Go to riseupcon.com. You can see all the wonderful actors that you know from Faith and Family movies. We have a lot of wonderful vendors, a lot of great sponsors like Patriot Mobile and Cardio Miracle, Brave Books, True Play Games, which deals with family and faith games for kids to get them off the games that they're playing. Mm-hmm. And then on top of it, we have a wonderful golf tournament you can be part of as well. So if you go to riseupcon.com, you get all this information on. We got a lot of celebrities coming in. We got a lot of golfers coming in. So join us in Sevierville, Tennessee, very close to Dollywood, making a nice weekend for the family. And check us out. I think you're having a wonderful time. And we're doing it next year at the Bible Museum in Washington, D.C. with Steve Green's Hobby Lobby people.
Let the audience know, do you have any particular, besides you, as I understand, you're a great golfer, who are some of the other celebrities that you expect to be there?
We got Corbin Burnson. We got Dean Cain. We've got John Schneider. I believe John Ratzenberger is going to come now as well. We got Christy Swanson. There's some wonderful people. If they go to riseup.com, they'll see everything on there. We got the writers that did God's Not Dead, What If, Nefarious, and Unplanned. Chuck and Carrie are going to be there. And like I said, a lot of wonderful vendors that deal with the faith-based world. We got just some great, great people going to be there. And it's very exciting. This is the first time ever event based off what Comic-Cons are, which I've gone because of Hercules, my series Andromeda. But most people come to my table now, they want an 8x10 for my movies, God's Not Dead, Let There Be Light, Left Behind, Rise of the Antichrist, things like that. So I hope people bring their families. I think they'll really have a great time.
Is Kirk Cameron going to show up, do you think?
Kirk is busy that weekend, unfortunately. We did reach out to him. I did talk to Kirk, but he is going to be, he's out, I think, doing something else. He's got a new TV show coming up dealing with the Brave Book people.
How about Dallas Jenkins? Is that somebody that you
Dallas know? Will not be there.
Yeah, okay.
They're filming right now. They're filming over the next few months.
Okay. And then the other thought was, who do you want to come? I mean, just when regular people? I mean, is this for regular people to show up?
I hope everybody comes. I mean, I hope Christians come, I hope agnostics come, I hope atheists come. I think this is, I mean, I've got friends who are atheists, are good people. know, but and they want good family movies as well. So it's open to anybody to come. We're not discriminating against anybody.
Gotcha. Just real quick, got 30 seconds. Epic Studios. How are they helping you with the distribution?
They've got my movie, the Firing Squad. Go to firingsquadfilm.com. Firingsquadfilm.com. It's going to come out August 9th on 2,000 screens. As far as I'm told, they have distribution on that one already. And then we have the documentaries out right now, Hollywood Takeover. Go to hollywoodtakeover.com and you can sign up at Epic Times. Just go to Epic Times. They're the fourth largest newspaper on the internet.
Really good. We're going to have to take a break here in a moment. We'll be back later with Kevin Sorbo. I didn't...